Pat Bradley, 1106.
And Jason Catania.
That's right. Our MLB
guy. I love
guy.
That name.
Great name. Flows off the tongue, my man.
Yeah.
501-433-1037. We'll continue to talk some NCAA tournament, talk about the game tonight, preview it a little bit. Let's go to the Stickies Chicken
Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline.
I have no idea what just happened.
It's the Sticky Fingers Chicken Shack Rock and Roll Hotline.
That might be the wordiest hotline ever.
It's awesome, though, isn't it? You wish you had that hotline in the morning show, don't you?
We don't. Oh, yeah, we've got the Lake Liquor Hotline. Even better.
Not even
Jason Catania's on here, though.
Jason, welcome into the show. How you doing, my man?
I'm good, guys. Sounds like that tagline is harder to say than my last name.
See? There we go.
It is. Trust me. I've said it. I've said that. I've switched the words up.
Yeah.
Every time I say it, the word is in a different position. So I don't know.
Right.
At least we're saying it. Jason, Bleacher Report, Major League Baseball writer, and opening week. First, let me just get your thoughts of what we should know about headlines after this opening week in baseball.
Yeah, I think the big story for me really was the instant replay stuff going on. You know, some little snafus here and there, little hiccups. I think overall the takeaway was that it's more good than bad, but obviously there are some things to work out, you know, where the fact that managers are still doing the challenges and we see these awkward sort of 30-second situations where the manager goes out and he's waiting for his bench coach to signal whether he should challenge or not, and it just makes for this weird, you know, what are they talking about? Hey, how you doing? How's your kids? And then they get the signal, and finally, there you go, yes or no to challenge. So that to me is a big takeaway, but obviously it's still early as far as performance on the field goes and teams still, but you know, instant replay for me is for sure the takeaway.
Yeah, that instant replay, you had to figure there'd be some getting used to, and I saw it was the Giants game where there was a play at first.
Yeah,
Bochy had thrown the flag. How do they even identify it? Is there a flag they throw? What are they doing these days? They just come out and say,
"Hey." I think the manager literally tells the umpire, "All right, we're going to go ahead and challenge it. Can you take a look at it?"
Because of course the umpires don't want to be yelled at any more than they have to. So now the managers just scream, "Hey, I want a replay."
Well, what was so bad about that is they got the play at first right in the same inning. Clearly, the runner was out at home, and he couldn't.
The thing about it, the replays to me seem like they're not taking as long as what a lot of people projected. I think that a lot of people were thinking, oh, gosh, we got a three-hour game, and we're going to add another 5 to 10 minutes to it. But they're actually they're expediting the process a lot better than a lot of people thought, right, Jason?
Yeah, I think so. I think more so than not. There have been a few that have been 4 or 5 minutes or so because they're, you know, last week there was one situation where I think they were trying to review multiple replays at the same time in the New York headquarters, and that, for whatever reason, seemed like it caused a little bit of a delay. So, it's like I said, there are hiccups. There are things that they need to obviously streamline a little bit better. But for the most part, I think it's as quick or quicker than, you know, having a manager come out and scream and yell for a handful of minutes. It's probably less entertaining, but I think it still gets the job done.
Was there word for Major League Baseball that this year they may amend some of the instant replay, or are they pretty set on we're going to be living by these set of rules this season and then we'll reevaluate at the end of the season? Or was there anything where they said that we could adjust certain things to make it better while the season's going on?
I think from what I know that they are looking to leave it alone for the most part this year. I don't think that it seems dicey to me when you're making any sort of changes in season, it's like a Pandora's box. You know, if they were to change something with, you know, for theory of the managerial challenges, then, you know, obviously Giants, Bruce Bochy, to bring up the example you used, would obviously say, well, you know, that kind of caught us off guard and we don't get the benefit from that. So, but it's obviously a work in progress, and the league, to its credit, has been saying from the get-go that, you know, we want to get it right, we want to fix it, we're open to tweaking it after they evaluate it at the season's end, and hopefully they do that, because, you know, I think it's good for the game overall, and I think it's good for replay that there are these things that we're talking about, you know, even in the first week, because I'd rather have these issues come to light and then they can work on them.
Jason Catania, Bleacher Report, joining us now, talking some Major League Baseball. Let me ask you about a few players. Derek Jeter last season Where do you expect him to finish his career, this being his last go-around? And who do you think is going to give him the best present when he visits their stadium for the last time?
That's a good question. I mean, I would probably imagine, you know, off the top of my head, the Red Sox would have something in store. Maybe the Mets, just because those are the two teams.
Yeah.
The other New York team, and then obviously the big rivalry. And, you know, with Rivera last year, with Mariano Rivera on his farewell tour, the Red Sox did it pretty big, you know, with their video tribute and the paintings and whatnot. But somebody will certainly get him some fun gifts that we kind of can't even fathom at this point. And it gets a little bit silly to watch, but, you know, if five of the gifts from the 30 or 29 of the teams end up being entertaining, I think it ends up being worth it.
Jason, let me ask you, this being Cardinal country down here around Little Rock, you know, after the first week, the Cardinals are 3-3. They play the Reds. They play the Pirates. Not a real high-scoring affair in anything. I mean, the pitchers did exactly what we thought, but is this team going to be offensively challenged this year?
You know, they lost Beltran this year, so that's going to be a bit of a knock. They need to see a step forward from guys like Matt Adams in a full-season role. They need to have Alan Craig be, you know, what he was last year, but healthy. And they have a lot of young players. They can't afford too much regression from a guy like Matt Carpenter, who was so great last season. I don't know if he can be better than that. I think he can be almost as good. But I think, you know, I don't think there's not a Bafo, you know, besides maybe Matt Holliday, MVP-type candidate hitter.
Yeah.
But I think that they have a really deep lineup. 1-8, you know, and that's to me where, and they're all young guys, so that to me is where they can make up the ground.
Let me ask you about Yasiel Puig, benched for Friday's home opening loss to the Giants, showed up late for batting practice. How are the Dodgers going to handle this? And is it something that, because it's Yasiel Puig, it's making a lot, it's making headlines, but it might happen more often than we think? Is this guy going down a road where we can see him in a few years? There's going to be a lot more issues, or is this kind of an immaturity that he'll grow out of?
I mean, as a baseball fan, first and foremost, and as somebody who follows the game and covers the game, I'm sort of rooting for the latter. I want to see him, you know, mature and develop and figure things out. And I tend to want to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's from, you know, another country. Obviously, he had a very different life, completely different culture. That's if you do want to see him be receptive to, you know, people saying and criticizing him or giving him constructive criticism, which he seems to be doing for the most part, you know, after the first week of the season or so. But, you know, there does seem to be a lot of temperature taking, be it that it's because of Puig, because of what happened last year and how he was such a sensation, and obviously the fact that it's Los Angeles. So it's one of those things where I think in a perfect world we would maybe just close our eyes of it, and in 3 months he would be a little bit better. But it's not going to happen. So we'll still be getting weekly, if not daily, updates about Puig's behavior and makeup and that sort of thing.
I like what he said. He said, "I asked him for forgiveness, talking about Mattingly, and as well as my teammates. It was my mistake." He said, "I'll be here early tomorrow. Don't worry about being here early. How about you just get here on time?
Yeah, no,
that's
joke.
All we want. Get here
yeah.
on time every day. Don't worry about being early." I said earlier in the show, I can almost see him being a Manny being Manny type guy, where he's just so talented, but sometimes off in his own little world, and you just got to deal with it.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that ends up being the case. Certainly, it's one of those things where it's tough, but I think Manny's a good comparison because he was so great that you sort of had to put up with what he would do off the field, or even sometimes the crazy stuff that he would do on the field, because he would, you know, hit home runs and come up with big hits and, you know, play well when he was on the field and his head was on right. So I think you have to sort of take the good with the bad or take the bad with the good and hope that the good outweighs the bad.
Let me ask you about a few Arkansas guys and start with Cliff Lee and how you see his season this year and hopefully. See, every year around trade deadline, I'm hoping he gets traded to a contender, Red Sox.
Yeah.
Every year, and it never happens.
It won't happen. No.
He's, for me, one of the five or six best pitchers in the sport. He's, you know, he's a metronome, basically. He does more or less the same thing every year, and it would be boring if it wasn't so fantastic, really. So I think it's possible that he's traded, just because I'm not on the Phillies bandwagon. I think that they're you know, Lee himself is 35 or 36 years old and getting up there, and the rest of the team is too. That being said, the biggest obstacle in his way, I think, for a trade would be his salary and the fact that he does have a no-trade clause to some teams. So unless a team like, you know, the Yankees or the Dodgers or, you know, a big market club is willing to eat some of the money or take on the money that he's owed, or the Phillies eat some of it, it's going to be hard to move him. But, you know, otherwise you just have to sort of enjoy him and see what happens.
Speaking of the money, what's up with that Miggy Cabrera signing? Is that, I thought that stuff was behind us. I thought we've gone to all the Billy Beane type stuff with the analyticals and how are you going to pay a guy? Well, Miggy's what, 30, and he gets $300 million
for 10 years.
I thought we were past that. Clearly, we're not.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, we had it. We saw it with the Robinson Cano deal. He was obviously a free agent, so that right there should bump it up in terms of, you know, because he's got all the teams competing for him, whereas Cabrera still had a couple of years left. And so the Tigers were basically just competing against themselves and didn't get any sort of a discount, which you might figure would factor in. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with you guys. I don't see – look, he's probably the best hitter along with Pujols of this generation. You know, is it going to last 3, 4 more years, 5 more years? And at what point does it become just a regret that you're paying a guy $30 million a year to be 38, 39, 40 years old, and you have to eat that salary and it prevents you from doing something, you know, 8 years down the line?
And finally, Jason, I just got one. Jason Catan joining us, Bleacher Report. For me, some things to keep my eye on and the rest of us to keep our eye on for this season. I'm going to ask you, if they do what? Speaking about a particular team, then they'll win the pennant. If the Cardinals do what, they'll be in position to win the pennant.
I think if the Cardinals stay healthy, A, and then also get some sort of in-season boost like they did last year from Michael Wacha. And I would be looking primarily at a guy like Oscar Tavares, who had health issues with his ankle last year and is trying to get himself healthy. I think he could be one of the prominent young players, dynamic talent. And he could be that middle-of-the-order hitter at some point in the near future that could really give that lineup some oomph, more so than it even has now.
All right, this is for my buddy RJ here. If the Texas Rangers do what? They're going to be in position to win the pennant.
If Russell Wilson can pitch for them also after the first pitch the other day, because they really just need pitching at this point. They need to get Derek Holland back. They need to get Colby Lewis back. They have a bunch of guys who are sort of in reserve, but at this point they're pitching for me. They just got Yu Darvish back, which needs help, but they need more pitching for sure.
When you look at that Western Division in the American League, I mean, Seattle's much improved. Oakland, they're going to be the same, you know, grind-it-out type of team. The question is whether the Angels are going to be able to – that big salary they're paying all their players, are they going to be able to contend? Who do you see winning the West this year?
Yeah, I'm sort of on the Angels' bandwagon. I mean, I have been the last couple of years, too. They have Mike Trout, who I think most people acknowledge is the best player in the sport, and he's off to a great start. And Josh Hamilton has been hitting lately, so that's a good sign, too. You know, at some point, if Pujols gets going too, then their lineup is really, really good. And saw, you know, a guy like Tyler Skaggs can pitch, and some of the young pitchers that they acquired in the offseason. I think the door is open for them to actually bust through it, given the injuries to the Rangers and Jared Parker with the A's. Oakland is a good team, but they're not, for me, they're not a formidable team. They're just, every year, they're just consistently good. So the door is there to bust through for the Angels, but they need to actually get off to a good start this season.
Okay,
four, it's early.
Jason, I lied. One more thing. Red Sox have to do what for them to win the pennant?
Red Sox, I think they need to have the same type of season as they did last year, which I don't know if it'll happen. There's a lot of talent there, but they had career years or thereabouts from everybody. But certainly a guy like Xander Bogaerts, who's a young, very good shortstop for that team. If he can morph into a really good player every day for them, that will go a long way.
My man, appreciate it. We'll get you on again here as we navigate our way through the baseball season. Jason Catania, thank you, buddy.
You got it, guys.
All right, man.